Hi there. You're listening to the Voice with Action podcast. I am your host, Deb Balico.
And I am Rebecca Pratt, co-founder and president of Orphan Relief and Rescue. Tune in to be awakened and inspired to take action towards what you were created to do in this world, to live fully alive.
Hello, and welcome to the Voice with Action podcast. I'm here with Rebecca Pratt, and today is Giving Tuesday, which is a global day of giving that happens the Tuesday after Thanksgiving, and it started in 2012 as a result of Black Friday and Small Business Saturday. There's then this inspiration to also give to a nonprofit of your choice, whether it be finance or time. And so this Giving Tuesday, our Orphan Relief and Rescue's main focus is that we are trying to buy 20 sewing machines for apprentices in our apprenticeship program. And each sewing machine is $400. So we are trying to raise a total of $8,000 for these sewing machines. And if we raise above and beyond $8,000, then we will apply that towards apprenticeship programs. We have 50 kids waiting in the wings to start apprenticeships. And so I wanted to ask Rebecca if she could kind of unpack what these apprenticeships are and what exactly the service that we're offering to the people in the community where we serve.
Yes, we have lots of need in this area. Primarily, it's kids that have come back from being trafficked. A lot of the parents that are in the savings and loan program that we encourage parents, if they have trafficked kids, that if they can get them back, we would request that they please get them back. A lot of them do know the traffickers. A lot of the traffickers are uncles or relatives that just are basically exploiting these kids and families that are in poverty. They're just coming to them and saying, you know, I can take your strong daughter or your strong son and send them to the neighboring country and they can work for their own keep and get money sent back to the house, you know, to your home. And what these traffickers are promising is $100 a year for that child. And they see that money usually for 1 year and then they don't see it after the year. And how they get away with that is they say, you know, if your child works really hard, you'll see that money, you know, for years to come. If they don't work hard or, you know, they're losing money in the area where they were sent to, then you won't see that money. But of course, it's just a lie. They're just saying that so that they have an excuse that second, third, and fourth year to not send money back home. And so anyway, the kids are under extreme trauma in where they have been sent to. I've never interviewed a child who's come back from being trafficked who wasn't abused on every level. They're starved. They're used as a piece of property. They're not given hardly any clothes. They never have shoes. They're having to do all the work, you know, if it's a home, a domestic situation in a home, they are doing all the work of the home. And, you know, if it's a teenage girl, they're having to give the man of the house, you know, sexual services at night. I mean, it's just really the worst things that you can imagine happen to these kids. So our big hope is that these parents will bring their children back. But then what we're seeing is as parents start bringing their kids back, then they don't have that natural affection for their child. And so they're still trying to figure out how to make money from that child. So if it's a 14-year-old girl that has come back, they're looking at who's in the community that can marry my daughter, be one of the numerous wives. And it's usually these men that have, you know, two to three wives, sometimes more. And the family's looking for that dowry. So when somebody's going to get married, they're going to pay the family a certain amount of money for that daughter. And then she instantly moves in with that, what they say is the husband, but moves in with that man and becomes one of his wives. So it's a new type of slavery that happens. So we have found out that if we can get these kids into apprenticeship programs right away, as soon as they come back, then we can save them from this next trauma, really.
Because they're too old to go to school because Correct. They haven't even started school. So they can't jump in, you know, as a 14-year-old in the first level of primary. So yeah, we have to get them into some kind of learning a trade. And do we then do literacy training with them as well?
Yeah. So some of these kids have gone up to third or fourth grade and then they were trafficked, you know, so they do know how to read and write. Most of them do. If they didn't know how to read and write, then depending on the situation, you know, we do try to figure out how to get them some literacy training. It just all depends on the situation because they're all at a different level and case by case.
So what are these apprenticeships? If we can get them immediately in an apprenticeship, then they are less likely to be re-trafficked or, you know, sent away again. So what do these apprenticeships look like?
Yeah, so I'll give you a couple of examples. So there was one girl and her father had told her, you know, I'm going to send you into work for your own keep to the neighboring country. He knew the trafficker well. And he said, I'm just going to send you for 2 years. And then when you come back, I'm going to save up all the money that is sent to me for your working for your own keep. And I am going to help you start a business when you come home or help you send you to school. So this young lady, she was about 15 when she was sent away, comes back at age 17. And her father did make good on his promise to bring her back, thankfully. But she had been used and abused for those 2 years. And her father had gotten that first $100 that first year, nothing the second year, but he did know where she was sent to. So he brings her back. And her father was an alcoholic and spent all the money on alcohol. So he had nothing there. And he said, oh, you know, I don't have the money anymore. So you're going to have to go back. Work again for your own keep. So one of our staff intercepted her literally from being retaken back to the neighboring country and put her into an apprenticeship and just helped her as much as she could. It was a 3-year program. She finished her 3 years and we were able to see what she has, you know, done with that. But now she has her own business. She's thriving. She dresses to the hilt because she's able to pay for her own things and feed herself through the business that she started after her apprenticeship. So it was a real success story. But, you know, we've seen that these kids literally, you know, their parents aren't fighting for them. You know, they're in an area where children are not valued, and primarily because of the religious practice that the parents are in. In that practice, they don't value their children. And so these kids literally have to help themselves. And without outside intervention, they can't help themselves. And so they really need, you know, our staff and primarily are the ones that are being alerted of these kids and helping them and then helping them even start a business after they're finished with their apprenticeship. And it's saving their life from a life of slavery, but it ultimately they wouldn't live long in a life of slavery. So they are saved.
What are some examples? What type of businesses are these kids starting or learning?
So this young woman, she was doing weaving. And so she has a weaving machine and she weaves scarves, hats, tablecloths, table runners, anything having to do with weaving. And it's a beautiful, beautiful trade.
Yeah. So we are able to put 40 kids, I know, into village apprenticeships. So how did that work? How is that in partnership with community and businesses within the community?
Yeah. So our staff knows the community's businesses and the different apprenticeship programs because they've constantly been trying to get, you know, the different children into different apprentices or apprenticeship programs. So they, a lot of these, I would say, are parents who have started businesses through the savings and loan program, and they are now thriving in their business and have asked, you know, that they could take, you know, 4 or 5 apprentices under them to teach them a trade. So we had, boy, I think, let's see, this last trip, we had a donation that we were able to help, you know, 43 kids immediately get into apprenticeships, that were just sitting waiting for money to get into these apprenticeships. So we had all of these bosses basically come, and then our country director and our finance bookkeeper literally had every child's envelope that had their money to pay the bosses for their apprenticeship program. And so we had all of the bosses there, which was great. I loved seeing them all. And then the child who was going to be apprenticing with them. And so I was able to just go around the circle and ask, you know, what kind of business do you have? You know, a lot of them are tailoring, sewing. There was glass window making, construction, electrical. I don't know that there was any plumbing, but yeah, it was a lot of different variety of things that they were apprenticing for. And, you know, even making palm nut oil and different harvesting things from agriculture. So it was, yeah, it was really great to just meet each of the bosses and then share with them our expectation of how they're going to treat these kids. We never want them to ever beat them, harm them, discipline them by withholding food from them. You know, normal things that we hear on a regular basis, this is just how they discipline, you know, in these areas. And so I just said, this, you know, with these kids, this is what our expectation is, that there will be no beating, no withholding food for discipline, no harming them. I want you to envision these kids like your own kids, how you would treat them. So, yeah, so it was, I had a captive audience, and one man, he says, well, if we can't do any of those things, how do we discipline them? And so I said, okay, to our country director, you go for it. You tell them, you know. So our country director said, you know, basically you need to be giving them incentives when they get to a certain place. Then you're giving them an incentive for what they've accomplished. So if they are not accomplishing those things, or you're having disciplinary action things that you need to take for a problem child, then he says, then you withhold that, in a sense, reward of what they were going to get because they've reached that certain benchmark. And I thought that was really clever. So yeah, he was giving them parental advice, you know, because a lot of these bosses do kind of fill that parental role, because these kids are 14 to 17 year olds, primarily those age groups. And so they're in those teenage years. They're, yeah, in that very, like, they need extra mentorship and extra care. And a lot of people don't know how to deal with teenagers. So,
yeah. Yeah. And this is a 3-year program, or is each one different?
Yeah, most of them are 3-year programs. 2 to 3 years is what those apprenticeships are. Yes.
Yeah. So each apprenticeship is about $900, which boils down to about $25 a month per child. And I know when you went, didn't the country director tell you that there were 50 more children that were rescued and brought back that are kind of waiting in the wings, that are too old to start school, but they're waiting in the wings to start an apprenticeship? And so we still are looking for funding for those 50 kids.
Yes, correct. We need another 50 sponsored apprenticeships for these kids. Yes.
So going back to Giving Tuesday, and that we're asking for 20 sewing machines, where are these sewing machines going?
Yeah, so each of these kids that are in the apprenticeships, we would like to give a machine for them to take home once they're finished with their apprentice program. But there's always a shortage of machines in these apprenticeship situations. And so we would like to have 20 machines that we could literally not have kids sitting around just watching, that they're actually able to actively be sewing, you know, outfits and different things with the machines that we purchase.
Yeah. I was wondering too, with your most recent trip, or were there any other stories of that you got to hear in interviews of kids that were, you know, essentially brought back from being trafficked, who would qualify for an apprenticeship?
Yeah, I mean, we had over 50 kids being brought back this fall, you know, for the school year. And, you know, what's interesting is I've been feeling compelled to tell parents in these community meetings that if you could get your child back, if they've been trafficked, you know, it is illegal and we don't want you to get in trouble. But if you can bring your child back and you know where they were taken to, then we will put that child on our program. And so to our continual, my continual shock, my staff isn't too shocked because they know how many kids have been out there, you know, trafficked. But we're just having so many kids be brought back and our staff is interviewing them and they're legitimate stories. And so, yeah, in interviewing these kids, I'm still honestly dumbfounded that they're coming back and the stories continue to be these mothers say, well, they didn't want to go to jail. So that's why they brought their child back. They didn't want to go to jail. So over and over, it was parents that I was interviewing more than the kids on this last visit and saying, you know, why did you bring your child back? And every single one of them, they said, well, I heard that it's illegal and I didn't want to go to jail. So I brought my child back. And of course, we're providing the platform for them to be helped. And so we tell them, you know, if you will bring your child back, we can put that child on our program. So that's working. It's working. They don't want to go to jail. But at the same time, we're also seeing that that natural affection for their child isn't there. They're not bringing them back because the child was being harmed so much. You know, there's a few in that category, but predominantly it's because the parent didn't want to go to jail or they are thinking they'll go to jail because we're pretty much saying that very strongly from the front. But, you know, some of these stories, you know, in the girls that we've helped. So there's girls and boys. Predominantly the girls are the ones that are used domestically and sexually. And the stories of these different ones, one of the girls that comes to mind, she had been in slavery for 5 years, came back at age 17, and she did not know how to read and write. So she was one that we did get a tutor for and was teaching, you know, her, and there was 5 other girls that had come back around the same time. And they were able to learn how to read and write, you know, just ABCs, simple stuff. But they literally, as they're telling their story, just tears in their eyes, as they just couldn't wrap around their mind of why their parents would sell them, number one, and wouldn't bring them back when they knew that they were being harmed. Because they somehow get messages back to the village. These traffickers have kids coming back and forth. And, you know, so that's always the hardest thing is kids trying to wrap their minds around the why. Why were they sold? Why weren't they brought back earlier? And ultimately, it's because I can't tell them, well, they don't really love you because they don't have Jesus. I don't say that, you know. But honestly, the love for their children and the compassion for their children comes when they renounce all of their demonic voodoo practices and witchcraft practices. And, you know, they're aligning themselves with the dark world and they don't have that natural affection for their children is what we've seen in those practices. And so once they do away with all of that, come to Jesus, literally their eyes become bright and they literally begin to have affection, natural affection for their kids and begin to fight for their kids and fight for their neighbors. So, you know, we've seen the answer is, as we've talked about lots on this podcast, the answer is Jesus. And we are seeing Jesus come through and do beautiful things, you know, like we shared about in the last podcast where I was sharing just about the trip and the community meetings. And what we're seeing is it's the chiefs that are starting to literally foster that change from the top down. They're the ones that are giving up their voodoo practices, and they're the ones that are learning to forgive people who are harming them instead of cursing them and sharing from the front. Please do not curse your fellow neighbor. Yeah, and this is where the village transformation will happen. And this is where we're going to see these kids that have gone through these apprenticeship programs. They are coming to our Saturday program where they're learning about this God of love who loves them, wants relationship with them. And they're learning what it is to have a relationship with Jesus, their personal relationship. And this is what transforms.
When you have an opportunity to speak to one of these kids that have been brought back from trafficking and ask why, what do you say to them?
The first question I ask is your parents, do they practice voodoo? Every single one of them says yes. And I said, okay, well, in that religious practice, I'm sorry to say they don't have natural affection for their children and their families. I don't say to you, you know, I don't say they don't love you. I don't say that. I'm very tactful with how I say it, but I literally say when they're in that religious practice, they don't have the natural affection for their family and for their children. And I'm so sorry, but the answer is Jesus. And I always say, you know, as you come into this relationship and understand how much Jesus loves you and build your relationship with Jesus, one day you'll be able to forgive them, but you will also begin to have a compassion for them, and you'll be able to pray for them and pray for your neighbors. But, you know, because of what you've gone through, you will be able to have a compassion for those and be the one that fights to keep children rescued and cared for in your village. And so you are the change agent that is going to change the cycle of all of this harm and horrific things. And so I'm so sorry that you've gone through what you did. And I'm going to pray for your heart. And I always, you know, pray for their heart at that moment, because they're usually have their eyes full of tears. And I just say, I am so, so sorry that you had to go through this. And this is what the dark side of the world, you know, the universe, basically, which is connected to Satan, wanted to destroy your life. But Jesus wants to set you completely free inside and out. So he's rescued you physically, and now he wants to rescue you internally. Their hearts are just precious. You know, they know what they were rescued from. They're so thankful for the physical rescuing. And then they, with the child's faith, they do accept Jesus, and they start building this friendship with Jesus. And this is the supernatural part that we talk a lot about on this podcast. This is where we don't understand how Jesus does it. But he comes in, he lives inside of them, and he transforms them from the inside out and shows them how valuable they are, how much he loves them. And we try to, you know, we've been giving out audio Bibles. There's little solar Bibles that we get. And we try to, you know, get them to be listening to the Word of God if they don't read and write. If they do read and write, we encourage them to read the Bible. You know, every family, I would say, has at least one cell phone in their family, and their, whether it's their parent, one of the parents has a cell phone. And so we're encouraging people to download the Bible app as well. There's lots of Bible apps out there in their own language, and just be listening to the audio or reading if they know how to read. So there's lots of options to foster their relationship with the Lord. And then everything, all of our programs are all about just helping people be discipled in their walk with Jesus. Yeah.
One thing I do love about this work is the hope and the dignity that we bring to these children and to their families, ultimately, because of Jesus. You know, we have a hope that there is a good father who sees me and loves me and rescues me and wants a personal relationship with me. But then the whole concept of dignity, you know, where we're giving them a trade and a skill that they can then provide for their families and survive and not have to be used anymore. But then they have their dignity is restored. And it's because of the love of Jesus. And I do find that inspiring and beautiful about what we do. So, Rebecca, we always close out our podcast with kind of a personal application for any of our listeners here. You know, if they, what if they have someone in their life who's feels hopeless or despair or even, you know, alone, what would you, how would you encourage someone who might be aching for a family member in their, or a friend in their life?
Yeah. And I think even going into the holiday season, you know, this is for some very hurtful time, you know, if they're alone or don't have a lot of family around them. Yeah. And I would say you are not forgotten. We are not forgotten. God sees us. He hears us. He feels our every pain. And God is so big. And, you know, through this work, if I've learned nothing else, It's that we can run to him. I see in these kids when they run to Jesus, he does fill their little crevices of all their hurts and pain. And he does fill us. And so, yeah, in the seasons of life when I'm down or feeling alone or forgotten or whatever, you know, I put on worship music and I worship and I just read the word, remind myself who Jesus is again. And, you know, there is a supernatural thing that happens and he does fill us and he fills every part of us. And I see over and over, like I get the visual with these children in front of me where I think it's impossible. The things that they have been through, it will be impossible, I feel like sometimes, that they will ever be okay. And then I come back on the next trip and I look in their eyes and I'm like, what is going on? They're okay. You know, they're running to Jesus. And so, yeah, I say run to Jesus and don't delay. Don't try to fill your emptiness with other things. Literally put on some worship music, get your Bible out, read the Word of God. And I've been sharing lately in churches the John 14 through 17, and where right before Jesus went to the cross and he wanted the disciples to know, like there was so much that Jesus wanted them to know and remember. He goes, don't forget, this is who I am and that I'm inside of you, that I love you and that, you know, I'm in my Father, my Father's in me and I am in you. And I will not leave you or forsake you. I'm leaving you my helper. And, you know, there was all these affirmations. And he says, I will make my home in you. You know, if you keep my commandments, I will make my home in you. I will manifest myself to you. And so read John 14. If you're feeling a little discouraged, that is just Jesus's assurance. Like these were all in his words, his assurance that he is in us, he is with us, and he's making our home in us, and we are not ever alone. Yeah, not only reassuring in the physical, like reading it, but then the supernatural part is what is the beautiful thing, that he comes and he does live in us and give us everything we need for every season of our life.
Yeah, he promises he'll be with us and we can be overcomers.
Yes, yes. Him.
And so, well, we thank you for tuning in and listening today. If you do want to help us bring this hope and dignity to these apprentices, we are looking for $8,000 to provide these sewing machines that these apprentices can learn to sew and tailoring. But then anything beyond that will fund apprentices waiting in the wings who want to start a program, which is $25 a month. Or $900 to cover their entire program, which lasts between 2 and 3 years. So you can visit us at orphanreliefandrescue.org. And we thank you and we will see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Voice with Action podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, would you consider sharing or subscribing to this podcast and leave a 5-star review to help us grow? If you want to reach us or help us end child trafficking in West Africa, go to orphanreliefandrescue.org. That's orphanreliefandrescue.org. See you next week.